Joe.
Very sorry to keep you waiting. It's not my fault. It's Reg's clock. That's correct. It's wrong, so I'll have to turn on the clock in me head. What's the date? 14 July, AD 14. We have a new student. Stand up and take a bow. Tom Morgan. And somebody we have seen before, retreading, Jean-Jacques Delance. All right, I'll have to make up for it by being very interesting, having bored you to death sitting there for 10 or 15 minutes with nothing to do. And I think I'm just going to give you right off the cuff, all of you, right now, a rundown on exactly what the track and bank looks like. And if you at the lower levels could particularly re-stimulate, and particularly the newcomer, on the thing, why, the best thing to do is to turn it off, is just get right on through to class six. That's the best way to turn all that re-stimulation off. And, and when you're at class six, go right on through to OT. That turns all the re-stimulation off. Now, let's just give you a very rapid-fire lecture, and Reg will be cursing in his beard because he'd want a camera on this particularly. But I will do it all again with Phillips and furbelows. It's very interesting doing things with furbelows. Here's the way it sits. There is a thing called a reactive mind. The total composition of the reactive mind consists of the following factors. Are we away? All right, it has locks. It has secondaries. It has engrams. Got that? All right, in addition to those locks, secondaries, and engrams, one of the most notable facts that it has, which comes to view at once you start, is implants. Implant GPMs. And they're in various forms and varieties and that sort of thing. And they make little black masses that are quite interesting to collide with. And they can be run on almost anybody, and actually comprise, the implant GPM comprises class 5. Old Dianetics dealt with the locks, secondaries, and engrams. And class 5 deals with these implants and their various ramifications. Implants are interesting in that they very often have engrams in the midst of them. You run half an implant and somebody slips off the post and something like that, and he's got an engram and somebody getting him back on the post. You know, that kind of thing. In other words, there's all of that still exists in the mind. And those implants go along with dating. You can date implants very easily. Go along with other whole track phenomena. And there's two branches then to the whole track phenomena, which belongs at class 5, and one of those is implants, and the other one is engrams, and various types of engrams go back all the way along the track. And there's some rather unbelievable time spans involved in all this. It goes very, very long. You can get dates of trillions to the 1,300th power. That is a date which you would spend the rest of your life writing. It's just ciphers that go on and on and on. I'm exaggerating when I say the rest of your life, but it would just go on and on and on and on and on. Now, because people have been implanted, and because implants exist, and so forth, then it is very easy for someone to get confused about what is called an actual GPM. and the actual reactive bank. Because he immediately conceives that it has been done to him, and that it is all mixed up on the situation, and he's very likely to believe that an implant and a GPM are the same thing. Now, if you want to become very ill, several methods of becoming ill will be covered in today's lecture. If you want to become very ill indeed, why, just start going around and saying that actual GPMs are implants. If you want to get sick, that is the best way I know of to go about it. And if you want your PC to get good and sick, why, have your PC start arguing around about this without you suddenly chipping in and saying, now, when was the first time you considered this? You know, and just run it out as a series of considerations right now. And he will come off of this wild kick, because he's going to make himself terribly ill if he says that actual GPMs are simply implants. Now, we're not interested in whether they were implanted or not implanted. I'm just telling you one marvelous method of getting sick. You understand? I'm not saying even what they are. I'm just saying that's a nice way of getting sick. Now, therefore, we get down to class 6, and we've covered everything else now, except, of course, the fact that what you're auditing up to class 4 is the destimulation of the things you erase at class 5 and 6. You want to know what these classes are all about? Well, classes 1 to 4 are devoted to auditing, which destimulates those things which are erased at classes 5 and 6. You understand? Therefore, there are only 2 erasure classes, and those are 5 and 6. And there are 4 destimulation classes. So that you never try to erase anything. Actually, it's quite incidental, but you really do get erasures accidentally of little odd bits on classes 1 to 4. There's a small amount of erasure does take place. But the moment that the auditor tries to erase something while auditing in those classes with their processes, he is in immediate trouble. I'll give you an idea of how this is. Let me show you the difference of classes. You say to somebody, you say you don't feel well. All right, what's the matter? Well, you got a headache. All right. Well, now recall the first time you ever tried to get this headache cared for. Or recall an early time you tried to get the headache cared for, more exact command. Because he won't give you the first time. And he gives you something. And he gives you something. And he gives you something. And all of a sudden his headache disappears. Well, now you've destimulated. You've destimulated. Where's the headache? Well, it actually isn't out there lurking, waiting to pounce again, but that if it comes back slightly, nobody should be very surprised, because having done this exercise of asking him for his considerations about headaches, or what he has done for headaches, or how headaches have been handled by him, or so forth, or what he's done to a headache. We don't care what we ask him or how we ask him for these considerations. Don't get this mixed up with O.W. I just heard crosswise in your head that you had. And no, it's any recall process, see, which would lead to a vanishment of the headache, no matter what you did. See? And then you found out that he had bonged his head on the corner of the kitchen sink at the age of 5, he got rid of his headache slightly. So then you decided to really find where this headache came from. And you found out that he was bonging his head on the corner of the kitchen sink. And then you said, well, all right, now about bonging your head on the corner of the kitchen sink when you were 5, How did the room look at that time? What was said at that time? And boy, he's got that headache back with exclamation points. You understand? Now, you destimulated that same incident when you simply asked him for some considerations. You destimulated, in general, the whole subject of headaches. But then you would come back and try to erase this. Do you see? Now you're going to go through and scrub out what you have assigned the cause of the headache. See? You're going to erase that thing, and he's going to get a nice headache back. Now, the funny part of it is you could go on through and erase it, only to find out that it really wasn't when he banged his head on the kitchen sink at the age of 5. It was when he fell out of the perambulator at the age of 3. So you would now erase that. And this would all be better. And then you could find out that it wasn't that at all, but in his last lifetime, he was really shot in the head when he kicked the bucket. So that puts you back into the last immediate past death. Now we're going to run all this out from one end to the other. Now you see, I see that some of you have been over this road. And there would be an astonishing return of perception, and he would feel pretty good about this and so forth, provided you did a terribly even, nice, smooth job of auditing the whole way. And you could keep running this back. Now, let me point out to you that the second you went into that past death, you moved into class 5. It was at that precise instant. It was perfectly all right to handle banging his head on the corner of the sink in this lifetime. You were in perfectly good order, but you moved out of classes 1 to 4, even on what little you can erase in those classes. See, you've moved out of that. You've gone on to whole track. One more lifetime than this one, and you're on whole track, and you're in class 5. That's the way we classify it these days, don't you see? And you got no business being there these days because of this interesting fact. It is absolutely factual that an auditor, smoothly auditing, can go back and erase enough of those engrams. We did it in Dianetics. Enough of those engrams to make that headache go away and be good, and the fellow not bothered with it at all forevermore. This is perfectly true. But the number of incidents, I'm putting you all into focus with regard to the reactive mind, the number of those incidents which added up to a headache may well be in the billions. Which is why we departed from Dianetic into Scientology technology. And that's the exact reason why there was a bridge between Dianetics and Scientology. Whatever else anybody wants to assign to it, whatever historical reasons or anything else, that is the great big milestone on the road. The discovery that there could have been billions of engrams on the track, each one of them capable of causing a headache. And to get rid of all of those engrams in times and terms of auditing, in view of the fact that man is only here for 70 years at a crack, to get rid of all those in a PC was not feasible. It wasn't that the technology was not doable. As a matter of fact, we recently improved the technology. You can run an engram now by spotting its time and spotting its duration. And boy, if you've got those two right, the pictures turn up all in 3D. This poor guy, he's never had a picture before in his life, see. You do that engram technique that was developed here a year or so ago. I finally got whipped out and so on. And boy, he's got Vizio and he's got the lot, see. All you have to do is do an accurate spotting of the time of the engram. Find its exact duration and move him up someplace toward the beginning of the thing, and on go the lights. See? And you're away. So the big problem of erasing engrams The PC had no Visio or Sonic. That was dealt with. There is such a technology. But it still doesn't solve this other limiting factor. The limiting factor is there's billions of incidents exist on a person's track which could cause a headache. Okay. Let's say you've got a chronic headache. Well, also, in running this, you find out he also has a chronic footache, and it has more billions, you see. So all of this becomes infeasible. It is not doable simply because the auditor hasn't got enough time to handle that many incidents. It is not now that they could not be handled, you understand? But he hasn't got enough time to do it. You could take this technology of erasing engrams and take 98% of your PCs and go ahead and run engrams on those PCs with this technology, and they would very soon begin to fly. But that is an erasure technique. And to achieve any finite end within the lifetime of the PC and yourself, due to the quantity involved, becomes impractical. That's why. And that's why the shift from Dianetic Scientology, and that's why these other approaches. That's erasure. So erasure from 1 to 4, it is not that it couldn't be done, is that you haven't got time to do it. And you can do more for the PC by destimulation, which is simply keying these things out. In other words, parking them over in their proper area without paying too much attention to them. In other words, the indirect approach to these billions of engrams was simply to destimulate the PC on the subject of keying them in this lifetime. And you find quite remarkably that this is highly workable. Destimulation as opposed to erasure. Now, there is then the dividing line between 1 to 4 and 5 to 6. 5 and 6 is those early ones are simply because you can turn off somebody's headache, and then if you don't try to erase anything, that's what I've been trying to teach you here, if you don't try to erase anything, if you don't push him back into the bank, and you don't crowd him back into it with some nonsense or gobbledygook of some kind or another. Well, I didn't get that. Would you go over it again? That was a what? Well, I didn't quite understand this. It's all right. But the auditor is just being too something around. He's concentrating the PC's attention on the backtracks. And he says, oh, well, that happened when you were 5. All right. What did you say you put your head up against? Oh, you hit. I hit a sink. All right. What sink? Where are you living at that time? Oh, heck, you've done the exact approach that has long since been designed of how to get somebody in an engram. Don't you think? And, of course, he will go into the engram at that time, and your job is actually to destimulate, not erase. Do you see that? Now, oddly enough, you could still destimulate after you've done all this. You just pick this session. Now, you've obviously made locks on the incident in this session, don't you see? So you just ask him, when was the first time we started to talk about it in this session? What considerations have you had about it in this session? He'd go all over it again, and magically, if you audited that very smoothly and destimulated this session, why, all of that would fly back into the background again. And once more, he would be rid of it. So we have two distinct classes of auditing, and we have two distinct things which are handled. And therefore, all auditing between 1 and 4 is the handling of locks, especially the lock known as a key-in. I won't bother to go into nomenclature of this lecture. If you don't know those words, look them up. So it's handling locks. So 1 to 4 isn't handling the raw meat of life. And we have omitted 5, since it now isn't necessary. And this brings us vis-a-vis staring into the lion's fetid breath. At six. So what you're doing now is a transition from sweetness and light of 1 to 4. The spring sunlight pattering on the freshly born leaves. Pan pipes trilling in the distance. The full volume ride of the Valkyries. With no transition, done in a dark cave with red floods and spots. And if this is something of a shock to your study factors, well, fine. I would be very happy if it were possible to put you through the 2 or 3 years of training necessary to come up the whole gradient. So it's not necessary to come up with those whole years. So the thing to do is just brace yourself for a shock, take it on the chin, and plow on. You understand? Because actually, all of your auditing up to 4 is destimulation, handling the little key ins and locks. My mama spanked me. And I considered at that time that I hated women. You know? Oh, gee, somehow I feel suddenly better about life. My mama wasn't so bad. See? To the military drum doing muffled rums, and he's going off to the executioner's block. The somatics, the confront required. Pretty tall. Big jump for a PC, big jump for an auditor. I just want to show you that there's a section missing in the training and track. But it is possible for you to make that jump. And it's possible for the PC to make that jump without an awful lot of stuff, providing you do 1 to 4 well. And that's the area that you've got to do well. And now what have you got to do to 1 to 4? In 1 to 4, you've just got to raise his cause level, so when he eventually begins to confront the real raw meat of the reactive mind, he can't as-is it. If he can't confront it, he can't as-is it. If his doingness factor is too low, his cause factor is too low. If his cause factor is too low, he can't look out enough from where he is to as-is anything in front of him. You've had other lectures on this particular subject. That is not new ground. So your thing to do there is just raise up his cause level and then throw in the lions. All right. It's something like the Russians trained their troops for World War II. They took this fellow and they showed him how to handle a submachine gun, field strip it, put it back together again, fire it, and then sent him to the front lines. That was his total military training thing. And them as survived became soldiers. So this is heroic. See? No effort being made at all to do anything very gradient about this. And this brings us right down, with no more gradient than that, to the reactive bank basic. The basic raw meat of the reactive bank is the GPM. And the GPM is caused of masses and significances, as you will find in other materials, and has certain forms and sizes, and my lecture mainly concerns its patterns here today. Now, there are people around that tell you, well, Ron must be wrong, I've never seen any mass in the GPM. Ron, there aren't any mass in the GPMs, because, so I wonder why it's so hot. Well, if you're running straight down through the center of a GPM and you're running dead on, which you can do now, of course you never see anything. The second you begin to see anything, you must realize something has been skipped. The only time anybody sees anything is something wrong. You've jumped a GPM. Well, all of a sudden you're going to have visio. You jumped an item. Well, you're going to have nice visio on the item you jumped because it's not going to be behind you. Or ahead of you, or to the left, or the right, or someplace. Do you see this now? Now, in the final analysis, the GPM is composed of mass and significance. And it's located and so forth. But you don't have to worry about it being too thoroughly, about it being timed. Because it really doesn't matter what time it's timed, because it is time. And one of the reasons why it's very difficult to find the top of the bank or the bottom of the bank and so forth, that sort of thing, is because it is time itself. So you try to find the top of the bank, and, well, that would be the part which was made last. Yes, how can there be a last when this is the thing which is made at first and the last? In other words, the characteristics which you normally assign to objects and their position, location, and age, these characteristics are gone when you get into GPMs. Now, you can say, yes, it runs in this order. Oh, yes, it does, and you'd better run it in that order. And you can say, well, it starts here and it goes there and so forth. Well, that's simply sort of on a basis it's easiest to start here and go there. Don't you think? Because there was no start and there was no stop. But there's the significance of starting and stopping in it. And if it weren't for any GPMs, there wouldn't be any significance of starting and stopping. How do you like that? See? The thing exists in space, but the GPM is what makes the space for itself to exist in. See? It has age, but it itself makes its own age. So therefore, we say this is the first end word. Well, we have said that this is the first thing about the thing that makes a first. You see? So it wouldn't necessarily be a first end word. There couldn't be a first end word, really. This is why the wits are... is very difficult to grasp at first glance, because you see, everybody trying to grasp it is tremendously influenced by it, and the considerations people have of things are caused by these considerations and significances which are in the GPMs. You see? It's a snake eating up his own tail. It's that kind of a problem. Snake ate himself up and disappeared. Well, that's really what happens when you run a GPM. Now, if... the consideration, then, the consideration of time, the consideration of space, energy, all the various things of which a GPM is composed are contained as significances in the GPM. Very puzzling. So somebody trying to understand life, sitting out on a mountaintop someplace in Lower Jesus or someplace, Jerusalem, excuse me, and he's contemplating his navel or something and trying to get the hot dope. He gives you all sorts of things. If he starts to get close to the truth, then the things he utters appear to be idiocies. If he gets close to the truth, like there really is no universe, Mary Baker Eddy. There is no universe. All is infinite mind. Very true. This is very, very, very true. But that doesn't prevent Christian Science from being the leading religious faith you find on the rosters of insane asylums. See, it's a truth which isn't quite true enough to save the bacon of the person saying. Truth must be truth. It must be all the way truth. Now, anybody who is studying slowly and so forth gets caught up in this factor that you can't go part way to truth. The most suicidal activity that you can engage upon is to go part way to the truth. You've got to go all the way to the truth. There are no half-truths. About the most dangerous thing you can have anything to do with is a half-truth. People have understood this, that a little knowledge is dangerous. Well, that's actually not very well applied. That's not even very well stated. And it certainly isn't the same sense of what I'm saying here. No truth can be halfway approached If you got that far and didn't go any further, you would fall flat on your face and be in quite a mess. If you set out to shoot the moon, there is nothing sillier than going into perihelion around it for the rest of your life. You got to land on the moon. See, there's no substitute for totality with regard to truth. In other words, you've got to know all of it. And this I'm applying to the field of philosophy. Ugh Bug Yammerbum, the famous witch doctor from Lower Scrumbula, he puts his foot on this line and he says, there really is no time. And he doesn't go any further than this. He teaches everybody there really is no time. He's put himself and everybody around him with one foot on the banana peel and the other in the grave. See? He hadn't told him why there is no time. See, he hadn't told him anything. And all he'll do is everybody goes around and say, well, there is no time, so that it doesn't matter. But yet, echoing around in their skull is the fact that it's true, there is no time. That is a truth. But it is so little of the truth, without somebody going the whole way, it actually becomes quite dangerous. The whole race would then simply go into apathy, and that would be the end of it. And that is what has happened in almost all philosophies that I have ever heard of. See, they get some corner of some truth, and then they don't walk down that road. And they go no further than this, you see. And they sit around on mountaintops regarding their navels, and they do weird, oddball things. And you wonder why they're not getting any better if they know so much. Well, the reason they're not getting any better, even though they know so much, is because they started on the road to truth and they never made the passage. And they're something like a shipwrecked ship. They're high and dry on that reef, and they're never going to go any further. But having gone that distance, it wrecked them. Now, this in itself is soul-chilling. This pronounces something quite interesting to you. And you can say, well, we started into Scientology. Yeah, you started on a road toward truth, didn't you? Well, the only fatal thing you can do, and you know this about your PCs, and you know it about those around you, and you know about some that have fallen by the wayside, you instinctively feel it. That having started, ceasing to go is one of the most fatal things they could do. And you look at this with some sadness, because it's actually a very fatal action. But let me call to your attention something else. It isn't of Scientology you started on the road to truth. You started on the road to truth a long time before. You've been on that road. When you sat down in the amphitheater. Dog. When you sat down in the amphitheater in Greece and listened to somebody saying philosophically and yippity-yappishly that something is the end of the road, and Kronos actually devours his own children, and therefore the whole universe is circular, and whatever else was being said, you had started on the road to truth. You began to speculate along in this particular direction. What is the truth of this matter? What is the true composition of this universe? What is my true identity? Who am I? What do I consist of? Where do I come from? And, of course, nearly everybody has asked that question of himself when he's a little child. And you started on the road to truth. It's dangerous unless you walk the whole road. That road's got to be walked because the character of the GPMs themselves admit of no halfway measures. You key in one of these GPMs, you key in a series of GPMs, you get them all roiled up, then you don't do anything about them. You're in the soup. They contend the end-all of explanation. Contained in the GPMs are the explanation of the universe in which you live. Your identity, everything is composed of, its impetus, all of these very things. In other words, the philosopher, busy philosophizing, and having himself a ball on the subject and coming up to some conclusion. Oh, let's take Einstein. Well, Einstein was walking on this road. He had finally gotten up to a point where he was trying to integrate life into his other equations, and he was groping, and he left one of the most remarkable. He left one of the most thoroughly remarkable messes for the ages forward to figure out that you ever cared to have anything to do with. When he died, he had a bunch of computations. In other words, he was going toward the everything of everything. In other words, he was going toward something that explains everything. And he hadn't arrived any closer than a bunch of symbols. But having figured out his various equivalents of constants and speeds of light, matter, energy, space, and time, having figured out these, he's trying to squeeze life into this somehow or another, and he left an awful hodgepodge of figures, which everybody worships at where he was, Princeton, I think it was, and they're busy trying to do something with this now, and it's all very complex, and it's all very something or other, and practically everybody around there is halfway spinning on what the devil were these last equations that Einstein wrote. He was just trying to integrate life with the universe. That's, everybody would say, an oversimplification. No, it isn't. That's a more truthful statement. That's closer to the truth than they are. He was just trying to integrate life in the universe mathematically. That's all. The old Encyclopedia Britannica says in order to understand space and time, you had better understand the mind, because it's very often, very possible that space and time are simply generated by the mind. How do we know? Interesting. That's in an 1890 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Marvelous insight. Very well put. I notice it hasn't been followed by anybody else. We notice that science today says the mind is so in error, is so inaccurate, is so this, that it is just nothing, and mechanics are all. That mass is all, and the mind is nothing. See? That the universe is everything, and the material things of existence are this, and man, he is just a spontaneous combustion from mud, and this is all he is, and he's just a lousy bum. And you talk to one of these boys, their whole orientation is in this direction. He will say, oh, well, a computer. Oh, well, a computer never makes a mistake. Just sits there and runs, figures out all these marvelous things. Now look at this marvelous human mind. Oh, human, oh, human being. I don't, you know, I can't think. You gotta listen to these boys. I've tried once in a while, timidly for me, to say, who feeds the data to this computer? And what feeds the data to this computer to get an answer out of it? And who inspects that answer after it has been furnished? But the mind, the being, the person, the individual. They can't get this point at all. See? In other words, they've got now the cake is more important than the baker. See? You've got an end-all cake. That's self-generated. And sprang spontaneously from the cook pot. But no baker. The cake is greater than the baker, don't you think? So, in studying R6, the first thing we have to recognize with vividness is that we are dealing with the baker, not the cake. We're dealing with the thing that makes it, not the thing that is made. And we've got to recognize that. And that'll explain a great many failures auditors have when they begin to approach R6 and its auditing techniques. They pay all their attention to the mass, the GPM, the significance, and to hell with the pieces. Well, in actual fact, if you don't pay attention to the PC and his reaction by keeping in a good auditing comm cycle, by doing good ARC break assessments when you got bypass charge, by first and foremost taking care of the PC, by making absolutely certain the PC doesn't have any PTPs at the time he's being audited, making sure of all these little points, keeping that PC into good communication, handling that very nicely, making sure that all of the items read, the PC is satisfied that they have read, that the PC is cheerful and happy about this, then you've just got an end-all cake and you've got no baker. And it's the baker you're trying to handle, and it's the baker you will be left with after the cake has been et. So you take good care of the baker. So a few pieces of cake get chipped up. Well, that's not very important as long as you take care of the baker. An individual is an individual. And now you find this inherent in early Scientology teachings, where it was taught more instinctively than factually. You see, it was taught more on a basis of general knowingness. I knew how these things were. You'll find that the being, the individual, has generated the universe. And part of that universe is the GPM. And the GPM, in its generation, then restrained him. It compelled him to go on covertly making the rest of the universe, unbeknownst to himself. And compelled him, by his own generation, to go on making it, the GPM. See? So you're not quite sure, when you first look at this thing, which way is which. Is the cart drawing the horse, or the horse drawing the cart? You know. When you first look at it, you will say, well, science, modern science has said, well, it's all cake, and there's no baker. See? Well, let's take it up a little bit further, the first trouble you're going to have, and that is the cart being drawn by the horse, or is the horse being drawn by the cart, or who is running what? And as the PC begins to look at this, he actually can accept intellectually he's making this thing that is smacking his face in, but he can't put any part of it into actual subjective reality. So it's a point you don't force down his throat. He will eventually begin to dawn on him. He gets to be further and further on a gradient of cause over the GPM, in spite of the fact that cause itself is an end word. The point is here, he gets to be actually more and more cause over this GPM. See, every time you're falling across a real significant significance, or something that is absolutely necessary to do anything about anything with, you're also colliding madly with GPMs. Do you understand? You're colliding with the meaningness of a GPM in some way, shape, or form, in any human action, and in any part of or action about this universe. It really doesn't matter much what corner you approach of livingness or life, in view of the fact that livingness and life is created by the individual through the GPM. He creates the GPM and it creates it, but he's long since forgotten that he created the GPM, and it looks to me like, you see, he'll say, it looks to me like the cake, you know, is creating the rest of the kitchen. Why, he will then not be able to very intelligently grasp the fact that every time he tries to address any corner of existence, he starts to feel strange or peculiar. Well, naturally, any corner of existence is already capped with a GPM. Because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be there. So all of a sudden, a guy is... Well, just think of the thought, see? Think of the thought at random. All right, that is either a lock on a root word or a rock lock on an end word. See? One or the other. It's a lock on a root word or a lock on an end word. That's it. I don't care what thought you just thought, if you thought any at all. So you mustn't get into some weird, oddball contest of trying not to think in some way, in such a way as not to re-stimulate a GPM. That doesn't happen to be possible. There's no particular reason for you. I already went over this roller coaster here a few weeks ago. This is a relatively short time ago. I had to decide what this was all about, and I had to get down and work it all out very carefully, and I did, and that is the conclusion I came to. You build in the universe through the formation of a GPM, and then you couldn't think any thought to amount to anything. Not even to amount to anything. You couldn't think any thought that didn't impinge on one way or the other. And I made an actual test. Wasn't intentional. It's with causation. It was telling you about cause level. And I had this struggle of trying to form a communication about cause level. And I said, well, I knew that cause and so on was an end word in a GPM. Well, we'll get on to what end words are and so forth in just a moment. But I knew that it was an end word, and therefore I tried to get around it by saying causation. Erase the causation of a PC. And I tried to get around it also by using causativeness, to increase the causativeness of a being. And by the time I'd carefully written the bulletin which you have, carefully scouting this on causation and causativeness, I was sick as a pup. It wasn't that I was restraining anything or anything, but I was simply miswording an end word. So I went back and scrubbed all that and simply put cause down there, well knowing that it was an end word. You don't want to keep repeating an end word at somebody when you're giving them auditing commands. You can get out to an outer perimeter lock. And that's what you want to keep repeating, like done. Well, that's very nice. Done, that's good. What have you done? That's good. Withhold, no, that's a root word. Every time you say withhold, you're going to key in directly and immediately. Some other portion, you're going to be keying in somebody faster than you're easing him up, don't you see? So it's best in an auditing command to use an indirect action. But in the discussion or communication of anything, if you try to escape the significance of an end word or the significance of a root word, if you try to escape these things and not mention them, all you do is suppress them. And the final result is you're practically around the bend. So the best answer is to hell with it. Say them. Use them. Not in a repetitive auditing command, not in a constant hammer pound of an auditing command. But a careful review shows that you can't escape this particular thing, and it shows that when you're trying to be technical, that a departure from the exact statement is liable to make you sicker than an approach to the exact statement. Then that says where you sit and where you think. Now, the number of root words and end words which you hear battered about every day, laid end to end, would be longer than the Queen Elizabeth's passage from New York to London. Every cocktail party are there, bat about large numbers of root words and end words. Now, the worse off a person is, in actual fact, the more he will talk in root words and end words. Sanity, if it is anything at all, would be the gradient scale of destimulated root words and end words. And insanity would be the command value of the written words and end words over the individual. Not their re-stimulation, but their command value. That would be insanity. If written words and end words have a disproportionate command value over the individual, you can say he's insane. That's interesting, too, because insane, of course, is an end word. But you have to step outside the basic considerations. But quite in addition to having built the universe and personalities and reactions and so forth, the individual is still quite capable of independent thought. And the reason you have Dianetics and Scientology is totally attributable to the fact that I've been walking to a very marked degree outside the perimeter of reactive thought while considering these various things. And that's very interesting. We got someplace, you see, and didn't get detoured into it, even though we were dealing with and very often using. I take the very stuff with which you work. A-R-C. Affinity is an end word. Reality is an end word. Communication is an end word. There are three end words in a row. And they're way down early on the track, and theoretically they should make everybody sick as pups because they're so early. And no, you do stimulate the charge of them. Now, you're living right in the middle of the forked lightning. If you live in this universe, and you're actually further from it in Scientology than you are if you were out digging a ditch somewhere. Because believe me, that foreman, when he comes down the line, is going to speak nothing in written words and end words. He's going to be pretty batty on the subject. Listen to a jazz musician. Isn't that something? Boy, that's nowhere. All are expletives. But there, you get the idea, there's a vast difference here. They're dead-on dramatizing. They're completely unwitting. It'd be quite another thing for you, a Scientologist, to be dead-on wittingly. I know when I'm using root words and when I'm using end words to a very, very marked degree. If I hadn't been aware of one before, if I ponder one too hard, I'll get warm. Well, I notice that I'm getting rather warm. I say, well, what do you know? I wonder if that's a root word or that's an end word. It's a root word. Well, what do you know? Must be a root word because it wouldn't add up any other way. And I found out that the resistance to and the flinch from these things is what does the damage, not the use. That's a very subtle point for you to know in Class 6. Very subtile. So get that point down very well. It's the flinch from, you see. It's the suppression of. That causes you to feel dizzy and woggy and sick at your stomach, and invalidation of is what causes pain. Invalidation, of course, too, is an end word. But that causes pain. If you want to make somebody hurt like crazy, just get him to get down and say that it isn't true that there is a goal at something or other, which is a real goal, you see. Or say it isn't true there is such an end word. And get him really excited about it. And the next confounded thing you know, he'll feel like he's being sawed up by a butcher's power beep saw. What happened? Well, the liabilities then are the liabilities of contest with and dramatization of. Contest with is your greatest liability as a student. You know, even though you're afraid of something, you're still in contest with it. It is that, and you are you. Afraid to do these things, walking the chalk line about them, being careful in consideration of them, and those sort of things. That's where the damage comes. So you say, oh, brother, that's nowhere. That's really nowhere, you know. But that's nowhere. I wonder what the hell I'm thinking nowhere for, you know. What's all this nowhere? Huh, must be an N-word. All right, it's nowhere. You know, get the delicate shift here. See? All right, so you're going to keep saying nowhere and make yourself sick at the stomach and so forth and re-stimulate the N-word nowhere. All right, that isn't going to worry you until you suddenly realize you are saying nowhere and to that degree dramatizing the thing. And then say you mustn't because it is an N-word. Now, you get that subtle one. Because that's where you go over Niagara Falls in the barrel. It's right at that point. See? You say, well, I shouldn't be saying that. Because, don't you see? Now, I've taken a new look at all this. So, you find out after a conversation with somebody or other that you're absolutely reeling. You've been talking about these things, and the room goes out of plumb, and so forth. So it does. So what? Now, you really want to make it go out of plumb? Well, I mustn't really discuss this anymore. Now, you've locked it all out of plumb with Yale locks. You see that? Now, you'll find yourself dramatizing these things every once in a while, but it's only a sin not to eventually catch yourself. Nobody expects you not to dramatize them. The room is still here, so you're dramatizing something about space and matter, that's for sure, and time is passing, so you must be dramatizing collectively something about time. All right, well, let's figure this little other tiny nuance. You all of a sudden find that you're sitting there saying, problems. 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 Problem. Hey, wait a minute. I must have an N-word or something in re-stimulation. Yeah. Even though it's next week before you find that out, see? And then, not make the mistake of saying, well, I mustn't say problems anymore to myself, see? Because the recognition of it's enough. You don't have to prevent the future. Because that's an N-word, too. So the gist of the situation is you're surrounded with these things, and all you've done to date, until you collide with them in study, is simply dramatize them. Now what's happening to you is you're finding out what you've been dramatizing. Your face every once in a while will be rather red on this subject. I myself pushed myself away from an auditing session. Not just very mildly. Pushed myself in an auditing session and walked around the room for a little while once. And I came back and I sat down and I went over. There wasn't anything wrong. I was getting reads. Everything's fine. And I went over everything under the sun, moon, and stars that I could go over. And tried to compare everything that I had done and everything I hadn't done. I was looking for this and that, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, I wonder what I'm trying to do here. Why am I reviewing everything that has happened here, you see? And then it suddenly struck me that the next goal up that I was about to run was to create problems. I had simply been sitting there creating problems. I laughed at myself and ran the next pair. That was the next one coming up. And I was creating problems. Like mad! You get what I mean? You can't actually expect not to do it. If you didn't do it, you wouldn't be part of the universe, don't you see? Your advance is to some degree measured
by your recognition of what you yourself are doing. And a real recognition comes about when you realize that you're making these things up, and of course about that time they will cease to. Now there's the trap in all this of the tremendous quantitativeness of them. There appear to be so many that you become exhausted. The figures on this are variable. There's slight variation in these figures. But the best figures I have is 268 roots and 268 endwards. That makes it square. There are 18 RIs in a GPM proper line plot. 268 root words in one series and 268 end words, or 268 series. Now, if you multiply this one times the other, you'll find that then there are in excess of 23,000 GPMs. Now, that, of course, is so staggering. It's such an astonishing number that it makes you feel rather quivery on the subject of, I've got to audit all these out, and it's taking us a session, or in some cases, it's taking us two sessions to run out a GPM, and we're doing turnabout-type auditing, and I actually am only getting three sessions a week, and I'm running 1.5 GPMs a week, and there are 23,000 of them to run out, so I can expect to be OT, of course, at the end of something on the order of 33,000 weeks or something like this. And 33,000 weeks divided by 52 gives you the... Oh, my God. Well, that, of course, is not the way it goes. This would be good pedantic mathematics, but it doesn't happen to be an accurate situation. Once you've got your plot well oiled in, you're spending less and less time in trying to find your way down the bank, don't you see? Once you've got, and 90% of this work, by the way, is, well, I'm not quite, yes, I'd say 90% of the work has been done on the organization of this. The consecutive adjacent goals and the consecutive adjacent N words are still in a state of polish. They're mostly known, don't you see, but they could be wiggled or wobbled to be here or be there or be something of the sort, don't you see? But the trick was to get the pattern. Of course, the biggest trick was to find out it was there at all. But to get the pattern of this thing took me over a year and a half of some of the wildest, most troublesome stuff I have ever been through. Very gruesome. I look now on an auditor who can't find a few synonyms. He's got one to spit, you know. He can't find the next goal, which is to expectorate. I rather look at this as being rather poor, because the next goal to spit is to, of course, this is not a proper written word. The next goal to spit would, of course, be to expectorate. If it's to spit cats, the next goal is to expectorate cats. You see? And the next goal to it would be to spitui cats. See? Very imaginative. You've got to run is next to gallop, you see. To travel fast, to speed. They're just all tight together. They're the same word. Same word. And it's got to be checked out. And the best thing to do this with is one of these new Rodel word finders. They're only available in the United States. They're very, very fancy. They've had a lot of college professors working on the thing, and they were nicely keyed in. And they frankly laid the bank out in this thing unwittingly and unknowingly. And you look up a list of synonyms, brother, you'll find the next-door cousin in most of the cases. What gives you trouble is you sometimes have prepositions and conjunctions in the goal. But usually just prepositions. And you have to bend your wits around a little bit. You'll get a goal like, this is not a proper one, but I'll just give you a form. To run away from cats. Right? So what is the basic rundown here is the pattern. The pattern has been found, and that is the most important part of any of this, is the pattern. Because, you see, there could have been trillions of patterns possible. The bank is so charged, it is so full of locks, that almost anything runs, almost anything reads. It's the woof and warp of life. And to walk your way through to what is the central pattern of all this forms auditing research papers, which, if stacked up here on this platform, would reach from the very far end of that platform to a height of about 2 feet or 3 feet all the way over to the other end of the platform. Just single sheets of paper, notes, and records of running possible combinations. And it is actually quite agonizing to run these things backwards and upside down. It messes you up like fire drill. So it's very, very difficult to find this pattern. You're being punished all the time for trying to find the right pattern, don't you think? There is no halfway road to truth, don't you see? A GPM, of which you have all of the items, which is properly worded and so forth, runs like hot butter, providing you haven't skipped too many or something. Yeah, that's dead easy, see? But the GPM, of which you have one word missing, or one preposition missing, runs with pure agony. So this is no good. You have to be dead on. Well, getting us to a point where we could be dead on was very difficult. And that bridge has been very well crossed. And we are very definitely there. The listing and any auditors being asked to do at the present moment is just find the adjacent consecutive GPM wording that he's got there. Now, they don't vary. Everybody has the same pattern. They all start in the same place, and they all end in the same place. They all have the same wordings, and some people have some holes in the track, however, where in ages past they have tried to chew up a GPM and get free. And there'll be little holes. They're just half of a GPM here and there is badly chewed up, and your most greatest liability there is running into an ARC break that occurred maybe 13 trillion years ago. The greatest liability is the ARC break with the bank 13,000 years ago. You all of a sudden are running down the track. This is rather rare, but I'm just showing you what the score is. You get halfway through this thing, the GPM. Everybody's thing's been running fine. All of a sudden it's all running bad. You wonder what's going on. And you trace it up, and the guy is looking at this or that, and he can see things, and he's upset about something. And you find out that 13 trillion years ago, in an enthusiastic, ambitious moment, he found this one, and it's to bite this one in half and try to do something about it and chew it up. And, of course, he got the wrong goal, and they're the wrong items. And sometimes you'll get a read on an ARC break assessment, wrong goal, wrong item, and you'll find out it was in yesteryear that they were wrong goal and wrong item. It had nothing to do with your auditing. There was some little self-audit, and this boy was doing 13 trillion years ago or more. Right? You got the idea. You occasionally run into this, so you've been trying to buck these things for a long time. And, of course, in several thousand of them, there's maybe one half of one GPM chewed up, so this doesn't compose much of a problem. But you can run into it. So people have been at it and trying to do things about these things for a long time. I haven't gotten any place. They've gotten themselves stuck and trying to list something without a meter and without auditing discipline. And without knowing the pattern and so forth, they just pulled in a lot of end words on themselves, and they've been unhappy ever since. The most recent incident I know of this, about 139 years ago, sitting on the side of Mount Parnassus, cussing these damn things. Messed them all up, pulled them all out of sequence. Just cussing them. Finally saw that there were these masses around, couldn't seem to escape from the masses so as to properly exteriorize things. Started cussing them. You find out that this sort of thing has occurred. Person, of course, gets into a state, he doesn't know what these are, he doesn't know what they're all about, he doesn't know what they're composed of, and he's already been bit two or three times when he's collided with these things, so he doesn't want to know too much about it. Well, he has to know them dead right before they are completely painless and safe to live with. You have to go the whole road to truth.
Now, they are very, very simple in essence. The whole pattern is extremely simple, I can tell you, in a very brief space of time. I'll write it down here. A root word, let's be happy about the thing. The end word, although it sometimes doesn't sound very nominal, is always a noun. And the root word is always a verb of some kind or another. So we've got something like this. We've got a complete GPM, and this is what you know as own goal and that sort of thing. Let's go over this. And it's to eat cats. Let's get this now. To eat cats. All right. We notice here that we have on the end of this thing cats, and that is an end word. And because that is an end word, there are going to be 268 or thereabouts GPMs, all ending in cats in a row. You may not be at the beginning of it, you may not be at the end of it, but you know that they're all in a row. There's 268 root words which end in cats, and they are all consecutive and in sequence. See? We've got to eat cats, to dine on cats, you see, to consume cats, to digest cats would probably be your next type of thing. It's just that tiny bit of shift, you see. It goes from eat to digest. And that there's going to be three like to digest cats, you see. But there's all going to be cats, 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 and it's going to be out there for 268 GPMs. Now, a GPM consists of 18 RIs. Those RIs in two rows of nine in each row. And they begin with a goalless RI at the bottom and run on to the top. And I'm not going to bother to tell you the line plot right now, but the line plot is posted in the theory room. 18 RIs in this line plot. And one of the main difficulties you get into is the line plot is itself, and the end words are themselves, and the root words are themselves, and they don't much cross. So if you had in the line plot edible cats, which you don't have, you see, but if you had in the basic line plot edible blanks, see, you would then get to eat cats, would read as a goal, because it reads off the line plot as a lock. But it would check out as a lock if you're smart and clever and work hard and ask several times. Most of the reasons you fail to check is you fail on checking is you don't ask a second time, you don't ask what it is, and you don't ask where it is. Ask if you missed anything. You don't add that to your checkouts, and that's when you miss on a checkout. And then you find out there's 465 dozen reasons why you shouldn't have run that GPM that you were busy running, but you just didn't ask the question. So, of course, now the PC's in trouble and so forth. It wasn't consecutive. It was improperly worded. Is this an actual goal, you ask? You get a read. Well, if you get a read once, well, that PC just might have breathed, you see, hard, or he might have had a heat wave hit him at that particular moment or something like that. So one read. Oh, poof. One read. Plooey. You never buy anything on one read. The question is, can you make it read again? Can you say, is this correctly worded actual GPM? Sometimes you've got some knuckle-headed PC that insists, well, you found out once. Why should you be asking again? You find out that all of your repeat questions and so forth are being suppressed. So you just have to handle that as an auditing problem. He's got duplication or something like that stuck as an end word, don't you think? He doesn't want any duplication anywhere in his vicinity. All right, so what's this cats? That's an end word. That's an end word, and they're approximately, apparently, 268 of these things, and they go plus, minus, and it would be something like cats and catlessnesses or something like that, see? Or be something opposite to cats.
We don't much care what's opposite the cats. It's what is opposite the cats that would appear on the end plot. But it's something that's definitely opposed. Not dogs. You understand? Dogs as a beingness is opposed to cats. No, this is the end word, but it'd be an absence of cats. You see? The end word isn't an absence of cats, but that's what the end word would mean. And it'd be expressed something like catlessness or something, you see. It's the opposite. And what makes it difficult is that it's only the end words which go positive, negative. And that gets very confusing, and that's very upsetting. But they go plus minus in groups. Now, if you have something to do with positions or locations and so forth, this just runs on endlessly. You've got all kinds of pluses and minuses with regard to positions and locations. For instance, the most accessible end words that you will collide with on a PC, the best end word that you'll collide with on a PC, according to what I've seen anyway, is here. H-E-R-E. Not plural, but H-E-R-E. And that, of course, has just above it, there. Which is the opposite to here, don't you see? Now, those are a pair of actuals. And they go this way. Now, there's these 268 of these end words, and they go to the middle of track, and then the sequence of plus and minus reverses on the word now, which is in the middle of track. Here's the beginning of track, up this end, if you want to have this end. It's at this end. And now is in the middle of the track, and the present is at the farthest end of the track. Now, the present just beyond it has the absent. That makes life more interesting. You'd never find anything. Here has several more toward PT. But they all had to do with this kind of thing, you see. Most of them do have to do with this kind of thing. They're plus and minus. But what I'm trying to show you is that the middle of track of now has got an earlier on one side of it and a later on the other side of it, so it's actually used twice as a positive, which switches the order of positive-negative, so that prior to this now, the earlier half of the end word series, just don't consider anything but this end word series, see? The earlier half of this end word series has the negative further away from the top of the bank. The negative is further away from the top of the bank, and the positive is nearer the top of the bank by one, you see? But from now up here to here, the negative, this caused us tremendous grief because I didn't find it at first. The negative is closer to the top of the bank than the positive. The positive is further away from the top of the bank. You understand? In other words, they do a switch. Because the center end word uses a double. It's double used positive. Now, you see, has two negatives. So if you work that out, you will see that's very simple. If you just write down plus as the middle of the track, and then minus closer to PT, and then a minus further from PT, and then alternate pluses and minuses both directions, then you will find out that, of course, the first half of the track is opposite to the other half of the track as far as the plus minuses are concerned. You got that?
Yeah.
All right. Now, that is the way the end words lie. And what's difficult about it, particularly difficult about it, is the fact that the track is really basically circular. But you will find out that there is a thing which answers up to being the top of the bank, and you can get the PC into a lot of trouble if you run the, quote, beginning of the bank before you run this end of the bank. You understand me, you know? That there really isn't any. You got it? For some particular reason, when time was finally plowed into it and so forth, why here operates as top or first thing to run, now, of course, operates as the middle of the bank, something you won't get till you're half done, and the present is the last thing you will run out. And, of course, those three things tend to lock up on each other, which keep the bank with you all the time. Adroit, isn't it? And, of course, you don't find these negative because of the obvious. See, you found here, so you, of course, don't have there. See? And then you get things like everywhere and elsewhere. See, that's another pair. So it's pretty hard to navigate through these end words if you don't know the pattern. But that is the pattern of these end words, and it's pretty easy to do. It's a positive-negative proposition. There is no numerical repeats. It doesn't go 21 earlier as the negative or so forth. That trick isn't there. It's common. Just as I've given it to you. It's rather ordinary. You could sketch it out on a piece of paper. There's this middle of the track and the negative on each side of that plus word and comes on out to the ends. And, of course, there's half 268 end words this way from now and half of them the other way from now. That's elementary. And then they tend to curve around and lock up, and it makes the track look truncated at goals, because goals, that's the big obsessive one, see? And it makes the track look truncated at that point, and the track will answer up as truncated and is runnable at that point. But isn't necessary to run at that point, see? It doesn't really matter, a cotton-picking, confounded doggone, where you run any of this, as long as you don't run it blind. In other words, you say, we're running the 15th end word in sequence from the top of the bank, and telling the PC that it is the top of the bank will turn on a somatic because you've misplaced it, don't you see? Because that re-stimulates placement, and you get the somatic from placement, don't you see? But if you just sawed into it, and then you found out how many end words there were above it, and you said, well, we're running the 15th N-word. PC'd say, all right, and you go on and run it. I mean, it'd run. You got the idea. It's nice to run it all in order. But if you can't run it all in order, don't run it blind. Know what you're missing. See? Know what you're missing in order to run it. So anyway, the net gain of that is the pattern of the N-words. And then these are the root words, to eat. Eat here we call the second word, just for lack of something, because it's needed in the line plot as the second word. And the to is just gratuitous, but to eat, you see, to eat is the root, what we call the root. And we just say root word. Who cares whether we use word or not, see? That's the root. And there's 268 of these roots. And you get one end word, it's got 268 roots. Pocket, a pocket, a pocket, a pocket, a pocket. 268 roots. And they all go in the same order, and they have the same sequence of roots, and they're in the same consecutive order for every end word. So if you've got cats, you've got these two, the same 268 words for cats. If you've got dogs, it's the same 268 words in that same exact order for dogs, don't you see? This makes all kinds of interesting mathematical computations and so forth. You can take any random end word almost and add these root words to it, and it sounds very, very significant indeed. You see that? So there's always the same sequence of roots. Always the same. And that is the same 268. See, the only thing that changes then in a series is this 268 roots with one end word. And the only thing that really changes in GPMs then, since the line plot is the same for every GPM, for all 23,000 plus, or whatever the figure is, well, the only thing that ever changes in the GPM is the end word. And that only changes every 268 roots. So it's a sort of slow freight, see? Slow shift. Now, the line plot
is the independent items which fit to eat cats. Now we've gotten it down to eat cats, and that itself is a little bunch of mass and significant, which is composed of 18 separate items, two columns of 9 each, which are in opposition to each other and bring each other about. And those 18 items, each one always has the same form, and it changes just with the goal you're using. So if you had, just as an incorrect example, but nevertheless an example of it, you had edible blanks, see? Why, in the line plot, why, this simply transposes into edible cats. If you had an end word elsewhere, it'd be edible elsewheres. It becomes plural. If it's not already plural as an end word, the plurals are all taken care of in this. It's not difficult. So you have edible elsewheres. See? And this line plot simply repeats in every one of the 23,000 GPN. And it's just the substitution here of what goal it does have. That's all. And it's always the same, and it's always in the same sequence. And it always comes together that way, and it brings each other about, and locks each other in. And that line plot is so composed as to lock together GPM A and GPM B. In other words, GPM B is expressed in GPM A's bottom pair. And in GPM B, the bottom items of GPM A are expressed in its top pair. In other words, these are nicely intermingled. So we have an item at the top and an item at the bottom, which directly refer to the adjacent GPM. See? So that's what keeps it gripped together, see? And then those end words in sequence, they don't really grip together beyond shutting off from one and getting the idea of the next one and approaching it. And that's the way they grip together. It's a sort of a travel thing, see? Guy decides for GPM after GPM, well, we're going to leave here now. We're going to shove off. We're going to skip it. We're going to get out of here. We're going to depart. I better scram, and so forth. And then he eventually magnitudinously thinks of the next one, and its first GPMs are just getting an idea that there might be another one, and then considering this for a while and pondering it and looking at it for a while and deciding he would do something toward it and then approaching it and then getting near it and then eventually walking around it and arriving at it. You get the idea. And eventually he's there. And there might be some trick interlock between them, but I wouldn't rule it out totally, but I haven't found one. I've just found these two are adjacent to GPMs that just go smoothly together. Now, that is entirely the total pattern of the bank. There is nothing more in the reactive line than that. These things run by the discipline of Scientology, and you have to take very good care of the baker. Because the baker's making all this. And you'll never have to run out 23,000 GPMs for the excellent reason sooner or later he's going to cognite he's doing it, and that's the end of it. But he can give you a false cognition that he's doing it and still have his head knocked off by the masses, don't you think? He can sit back and decide he's doing it, you see, so therefore it'll all go away. Won't do him any good. It happens when it happens, not before. And actually, it's a pretty long, gruesome, arduous run, and it's run today by platens. It can be run easily by platens. Nothing to it. Just cut pieces of cardboard with the pattern of the GPM written on the tops of the cardboard, and you just fill in one word. Cut them out with a razor blade. And a platen is an L-shaped hole. 9 L-shaped holes in series with your bottom part of the hole is what you write your data in. And you just put them on an 8x13 sheet of paper, and you don't even have to write out items. They go pocket to pocket about it. When you first start in, you better write out the items. But there's the whole composition of the track. There's the GPM, the auditing technology, which runs it. It's very, very smooth auditing addressed to an exact drain of charge of each one of these things in turn, and the charge goes away very fast, usually with one or two big reads, and you position it one way or the other, and eventually, why, get in your X step. And so forth. It's very rapid. And frankly, running with a platen and so forth, you can dispense with one of these things about 1 a minute. If you got up to 1 a minute and so forth, that's 23,000 minutes to OT. At the absolute outside, because you never get to the 23,000 minutes. Sooner or later, the guy's going to say, well, the hell with that, I'm not making it all up. At that point, he's got to fly out of his body, though, and straighten up the auditing room chairs by thinking they ought to be staged, see? But don't let anybody get away with the idea. Well, I realize I'm causing all these things, and you'll see that, by the way. That'll be very frequent. I know, peeking. So anyhow, know them and love them, live with them, and straighten them out with the greatest of ease. But they do have their foibles. They will crowd it, man. They will push it. They will get anxious. All right, and that is the total composition of the bank, and there isn't anything else in the bank that you need to worry about, because there isn't anything else in the bank, because all engrams, locks, secondaries, and this is why we don't run them, implants, and all other such bric-a-bracs, theta traps, all the rest of this thing, of course, are all sitting as locks on the GPMs. Now you say, well, we can expect to go along and find the GPMs are sitting on locks someplace. Yes, they're sitting. They're all locks on a thing called a thetan. Thank you very much.